Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Mike Lofgren, who has spent 28 years working in Congress, the last 16 as a senior analyst on the House and Senate budget committees, which gave him a ringside seat on TARP, Hurricane Katrina disaster relief, debates on the Pentagon budget, and the amazing antics of various deficit reduction commissions. He's the author of The Party Is Over, How Republicans Went Crazy, Democrats Became Useless, and the Middle Class Got Shafted. And he has an important essay at BillMoyes.com, Anatomy of the Deep State. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mike Lofgren.
Good to be here once again.
And when you wrote about how the Republicans went crazy after having had this ringside seat for so long as a senior staffer on both the House and the Senate side, it seems like, though, they're reaching a new crescendo of idiocy now with holding this IRS official in contempt, going back to the McCarthy days. And we know what will happen there. The courts will throw it out eventually. But there's obviously a lot of grandstanding going on, and nobody's more of a grandstander than Darrell Issa. And then you've got now this committee is going ahead to look into Benghazi. And this is after you've had the State Department's Accountability Review Board, the Senate Intelligence Committee's hearing, the House Armed Services Committee's hearing, and the House Committee on Government Oversight and Reforms hearing. That was, of course, Darrell Issa's attempt to turn the so-called smoking gun into a real story. On the scale of absurdity and insanity, where would you put these latest two moves?
Well, I would only put them about a 5 or a 6. I would just have to disagree in that it's not a new crescendo of stupidity. It's pretty much what we've come to expect, and it's well-nigh irresistible for the Republicans going into an election year to grandstand this way as opposed to actually legislating.
Well, but what's the motive here? Are they doing this because they don't have anything to offer substantially on all the important issues that need to be addressed? Or are they doing this to rile up their base?
Well, I mean, it's a combination of both. You can't allow Paul Ryan to talk too much about his budget, or then he gets into voucherizing Medicare, and that will turn off the base of the base, which is the seniors who go out and, you know, near 100% rate to vote in midterm elections where other demographics do not. So it precisely is a matter of riling up the base and not talking about the things that they're not legislating on or their own economic policy, which is non-existent.
Well, there's no question that this IRS thing is incredibly bogus, and so is the Benghazi thing, but it's become so real to so many, because I guess if you watch Fox News and believe that that's actually a news channel, you have heard nothing but these two trumped-up cases. And, you know, the thing about the IRS so-called scandal that's so ridiculous is that, you know, the IRS were getting blitzed with unprecedented outbreak of applications for 501c4 tax-exempt social welfare vehicles because of the Citizens United decision. And they didn't know what to do with all this blizzard of applications. So they decided to put in two categories into the computer to kind of sort them out to find out which were the legitimate ones and which were the nakedly partisan ones. So they put in the words Tea Party, and they put in the words progressive and occupy. So, you know, they were clearly being bipartisan. So how have they managed to make this thing into some kind of jihad against the Tea Party?
Well, they do it simply because their base lives in a bubble. It only gets its quasi or pseudo information from Fox News. It's just the same way that Fox News is not going to tell you that other 501c4s were targeted, just as it's not going to tell you that Cliven Bundy was a deadbeat who cheated the government, or you could say you and me, as we're trustees for the government, in a sense, out of $1.1 million in grazing fees. They weren't going to tell you that. They were going to tell you he was standing up to federal overreach. So it's sort of par for the course. Now, the Washington Post, which is sort of the bulletin board of the Beltway Illuminati, covered the IRS story pretty much as it would a local story. And all of this came out that the IRS was inundated with these applications. It's an inevitable result of the Citizens United decision. I would say, opining a bit here, I think the whole nonprofit area, 501c3 or c4, is a huge part of the economy that effectively dodges taxes. Now, some of it is legitimate, some of it is charitable, and some of it is plainly bogus. It's a way to avoid taxation, which puts a greater burden on small business and individual taxpayers who don't get that kind of advantage. I mean, we even have defense contractors like Logistics Management Institute. They're contractors just like Halliburton, but they have incorporated as a nonprofit. Nonprofit hospitals don't have any better outcomes than for-profit hospitals. They don't do any more charitable work. They pay their hospital administrators and CEOs ridiculously high salaries, well into the seven figures. These don't really meet the definition of a nonprofit. I think the whole IRS flap could have been the occasion for a reasoned debate about what gets taxed in this country and what doesn't, and how insane the whole Citizens United decision was. But instead, it simply became a partisan witch hunt, and I'm no particular partisan for Lerner, the IRS commissioner, but she was within her rights to invoke the Fifth Amendment. And what the Republicans seem to be saying is that they can lift people's Fifth Amendment privilege against incrimination. So it's awful from many aspects. One is a diversion from the real issues regarding nonprofits and so-called social welfare organizations, and the other for turning this into a McCarthyite witch hunt.
Again, I'm speaking with Mike Lofgren, who has spent 28 years working in Congress, the last 16 as a senior analyst on the House and Senate budget committees, which gave him ringside seats on TARP, Hurricane Katrina disaster relief, debates on the Pentagon budget, and the amazing antics of various deficit reduction commissions. He's the author of The Party Is Over, How Republicans Went Crazy, Democrats Became Useless, and the Middle Class Got Shafted. And he has an important essay at BillMoyes.com, Anatomy of the Deep State. But the theatrical aspect of this, the bogus, phony aspect of this is, of course, I mean, this poor woman's going to have to spend a fortune on lawyers, and she had to resign. Her career's over. She'd probably have to sell a house and go into bankruptcy because of Daryl Issa's jihad. But at the end of the day, the courts will throw out any contempt charges because she's protected by the Fifth Amendment, the very thing that she invoked twice.
That is correct. So I fail to see why we're going down this path other than for cheap advantage and to avoid talking about real issues and instead having something to stir up one's political base.
So on the other piece of the theater of the absurd, which is this Benghazi thing that they've now gone ahead with, Boehner resisted it, but then he put Trey Gowdy in charge of it. And Trey Gowdy is, of course, a Tea Party Republican who has said some pretty... he's given to conspiracy theories, and he believes that there is a conspiracy theory here, and there's a systematic effort on the part of the Democrats and the White House, in particular the Obama administration, to cover up this so-called Benghazi conspiracy. And obviously, they simply cannot make the distinction between government incompetence and conspiracy. And there certainly is a lot of questions about what happened in Benghazi, but they do seem to all indicate an incredible incompetence. And after we spend all these billions on intelligence, these people can't get out of their own way. But Gowdy apparently has said that we'll have committee hearings until the Lord comes back, if that's what it takes. So,
well, at least he shows he's a good Tea Party Republican. He believes in the rapture.
So is Boehner putting this nutcase in charge? Is this his revenge, do you think?
I don't know whether he just gave up and said, okay, I'll give you what you want, or he calculated, okay, I'll give you a horse doctor's dose of what you want and then see how you like it. Because this Gowdy fellow seems like he might be wrapped a little too tight. And on one of the morning talk shows this week, he was referring to the upcoming hearings he plans to hold as a trial, and he was the prosecutor. So I don't know whether that was a Freudian slip or whether that was the way he planned to conduct them, because we do have trials in America that are conducted under an adversarial system with the prosecutor presenting his own case. Investigative oversight hearings in Congress, on the other hand, are supposed to be fact-finding investigations, not trials. So he probably needs to read that little pocket constitution that all these would-be James Madisons have in their coat pocket.
So, Mike Lofkin, now that the train is going to leave the station and that we're going to have this ridiculous theater of Trey Gowdy and the Republicans beating this dead horse over Benghazi, and I don't imagine after this will be the fifth inquiry now whether anything will come to light. Obviously, the subtext here is that they're trying to go after Hillary Clinton, and of course the other subtext is to drum up the base and get them excited and get them out to vote based on this idea that something terrible happened with the death of four Americans in Benghazi. Of course, these are the same Republicans who've never, ever had an inquiry into why 4,500 Americans died needlessly in Iraq based on lies, and not to mention, hundreds of thousands, perhaps, of Iraqis who've died. Has anybody pointed that out, that inconsistency out?
Other than you and I talking about an hour ago on the same subject privately, I don't think very many people have. Perhaps the Republicans have sort of updated Stalin's observation that one death is a tragedy, a million are a statistic. Now it's four deaths are a scandal, and 4,500 are a mere statistic. Again, but like the IRS matter, there is an opportunity for a useful debate about American foreign policy. That's just not what we're going to get. We should have been asking the question of why we intervened, spending about $1 billion in the operation to knock over Gaddafi with military force and take over a country. Instead of asking that, we're concentrating on one regrettable, tragic incident that was almost inevitable, it or something like it, once you overthrow a country. All the bad things that happened in Iraq principally occurred after the fighting was over with Saddam Hussein's army. All the things that happened that were so horrible in Afghanistan happened after the Taliban had been chased out, primarily, in early 2002. People just do not understand the concept of blowback, and Republicans like Lindsey Graham and John McCain who were cheerleading and trying to badger Obama into doing this. Not that Obama doesn't bear responsibility for his own actions, but these people are now crying about what a horrible outcome it was for something that they advocated and cheerled. So I think it's totally outrageous. Perhaps the only good that will be come out of this is that Gowdy will be so difficult to control that things will come out of the hearing that aren't quite in the script. They're maybe not convenient for the administration by any means, but they're not convenient for the Republicans or the military-industrial complex about all the stuff that Seymour Hersh has recently been writing about in the London Review of Books, that there was a little gun-running operation going on using the former equipment from Gaddafi's huge arsenal and shipping it via Benghazi to Turkey and thence into Syria or via Kuwait or Qatar. So that was some of the stuff that's the background of Benghazi that somehow they never point out in congressional hearings or on Fox News, that there was a lot of really questionable stuff going on there. But that apparently isn't the scandal. The scandal is the talking points that Susan Rice used.
Well, do you think, though, just in closing, Mike Lofgren, that the Democrats will participate in this farce? They're not sure. On the one hand, they would like to embarrass the Republicans by just simply not showing up and pointing out the nakedly partisan nature of this farce. But on the other hand, some are arguing that they should join in to make the kind of points that you're making.
Yes, if they were capable of that sort of independent thought, that they could make a case that is both true and serving their own interests as a congressional investigative committee for its true purpose of finding out the facts, it might not necessarily square with what the administration wants to see come out, but I do rather doubt that they would do that. If they decided to actually participate, they'd presumably unify behind some sort of defend the administration at all cost thing, which really doesn't serve the public or the truth. And it doesn't really attack the Republicans in any significant way, because we know how the partisan lines have been drawn on this for almost 2 years.
Well, Mike Lofgren, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
I enjoyed talking to you.
Again, I've been speaking with Mike Lofgren, who spent 28 years working in Congress, the last 16 as a senior analyst on the House and Senate budget committees, which gave him ringside seats on TARP, Hurricane Katrina disaster relief, debates on the Pentagon budget, and the amazing antics of various deficit reduction commissions. He's the author of The Party Is Over, How Republicans Went Crazy, Democrats Became Useless, and The Middle Class Got Shafted. And he has an important essay at BillMoyers.com, Anatomy of the Deep State. We're going to take a brief station break and be back looking into the revival of polio and conspiracy theories about not vaccinating children.